The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Are you a clinic owner searching for something new this year? Do you have unhappy clients with a mystery illness the doctors can't treat? Then it's time to try out our latest professional systems. My name is Kevin Davis. With our bioresonance system, we start with an automated full body scan. It's simply the quickest way to shine a light on what's going on inside, with treatments to strengthen, meridian stimulation, pathogen discovery, session guides, lifetime support, and a lot more. For the latest health tech at the best price, visit biohealthtech.co.uk today.
Another Yes to Life show with me, Robin Daly, founder of the UK charity Yes to Life. Yes to Life supports people with cancer in understanding and accessing the options of integrative medicine. My guest today has extensive experience of supporting people through cancer treatment and beyond. Jo Gamble is a nutritional therapist and a functional medicine practitioner who specialises in cancer support and is an ardent advocate for the potential of lifestyle medicine to have a significant impact on quality of life and life expectancy. I'm speaking to Jo over Skype in Coventry. Hi Jo, lovely to meet you on Skype. We've not actually met before, but I've known about you for quite a while.
Hi Robin, how are you doing?
Really well, thank you very much. So we're going to be talking about nutrition, we're going to be talking about functional medicine, lifestyle medicine, lots of things. While attitudes towards lifestyle medicine, they're certainly changing in the UK at last, cancer is probably the field in where this is the least true. Patients still being routinely told that it doesn't matter what they eat and that a normal, balanced diet is all they need, and they're being warned off all supplements and encouraged to keep up their weight by eating anything they fancy. So you've devoted your attention to food as medicine. What would you like to hear 21st century oncologists saying to their patients?
It's a great point that you put there about saying clients are encouraged to eat a balanced diet. In fact, my experience is sadly that many oncology patients are actually being encouraged to eat quite poorly, more poor than they may have done pre-diagnosis, to in fact keep their weight up. So eat all the sugar, eat custards and creams and ice creams in order to make sure you maintain your weight. And we both know that this isn't sound advice. So I suppose my ultimate goal would be that integrative approach, whereby a consultant, an oncologist, uses their amazing skill, which they do have amazing skills, but alongside that, they say, let's bring on board a functional medicine practitioner in order to support you with the areas that I personally, as an oncologist, don't have that skill with. And I think that's what we're aiming to work towards, is that fully integrative approach to oncology. And that's my background, is I've got a fellowship in integrative oncology, and it's what I've trained towards, is working alongside. And it's not an us or them, it's a, can we work together as an integrative team?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's the message from Yes to Life all round. All the best resources for the benefit of the patient. So, look, I've spoken to lots of inspiring nutritional therapists on the show over the years, and curiously, pretty much every one of them trained in nutrition in response to a personal health challenge of their own or one of their family. And I think you're no exception to this. Would you like to just tell us about what prompted you to undertake a long and demanding training in nutritional science?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do fall into that category indeed. So my daughter, who's just turned 16 years old, at the age of 19 months was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. There was a little bit of a question mark at diagnosis as to whether or not she had a cancer, because they found a lump. And I remember sitting there that night saying, please God, don't let it be cancer. No, it wasn't cancer, it was rheumatoid arthritis, but only to find that 6 months later, she was in fact put on a chemotherapy regime.
Right.
Now, being only 2 years old at the time, and with obviously a very delicate immune system, as most two-year-olds are still developing immunity, it was the effects of the drugs that I'm going to say almost killed her.
Right.
So within weeks, she had bilateral pneumonia, and then weeks later, bilateral pneumonia again. So it was while sitting in hospital one night that I realised that if I didn't start to take control of her health, that potentially the drugs would finish her off.
Right.
So it was that turned me to initially to nutritional therapy to make a difference to her. And then I realised that actually, and I questioned my daughter's doctor, like, does diet make a difference? And you can guess their response. No, just feed her whatever you want. So it wasn't just a case of they were not able to educate. They actually discouraged me and sort of told me that that was a waste of time.
Right.
And then, of course, when I trained, I was like, I need to be able to share this message with other people. Now, my original profession is I was a behavioural therapist. I specialised in autistic children. And as a parent, I not only wanted the information as to what to feed her, I needed the skill of how to feed it to her. So how to be inventive with food, how to encourage a 3, 4, 5-year-old to eat a diet rich in antioxidants through juicing or whatever means that I wanted to get into her and then to my clients. So I was sort of able to dovetail those skills together to work with children. But of course, I work many adults. But to be fair, I have to dovetail those skills with adults.
Okay.
Adults that are following, you know, a typical Western diet for maybe 20, 30, 40 years to encourage them to make positive changes.
Right. So, You focused in then on nutrition as being like the key way that you felt you were going to be able to affect your daughter's situation over and above any other discipline that you might have picked up at the time.
Well, absolutely, but it still didn't give me the answers to why. So it still didn't give me the why do people get sick? So nutrition is an amazing skill to help to overpower the body with antioxidants or food rich in beneficial bacteria or foods that have anti-inflammatory properties to them. But I kind of am stuck in the head of a 2-year-old, which is, but why?
Mm-hmm.
So, but why do people get cancer? Or but why do people get autoimmunity? And it was that but why that took me to functional medicine.
Right.
And I would explain functional medicine as a deeper skill set to get to the root. So whilst I work with many clients on chemotherapy or radiotherapy or pre and post surgery, and I do support them all the way through that journey, whether it's to minimise side effects of allopathic medicine, maximise effect, whatever that approach. But my biggest passion is the sort of the post-treatment individuals who have been kind of cut loose at the end of their allopathic treatment to kind of watch and wait. But yet those people are in so much fear of their disease coming back. And I'm sure you've heard of this with people that have called you up all of the time. You know, they finished their breast cancer treatment or they're on hormone therapy, but they're worried about a relapse. Or right. Sadly, they call you when they've had their relapse. Now, that is the stage that functional medicine really comes into its own, because that's when you can work with a client to dig down deep and really get to the grasp of what was imbalanced in their body in order to allow those cells to multiply in the first instance.
Mm-hmm.
And by really understanding the why, you can work with that individual to try to recreate balance. So those whys might include gut dysbiosis. So they've got, for example, a bacterial or a fungal or a parasitic infection in their gut that's altered immune system regulation. It might be a hormonal imbalance. So the individual is producing too much of the more aggressive estrogen and not able to break it down. It might be that they've got a virus. It might be that they're carrying excess toxicity. They're just examples.
Right.
But in order to really understand the why and then work with a client to address the why, that to me is the cream of working in the field of functional medicine, because that's about really making a difference.
Right. Well, I completely agree with you. It's a very important time when effectively they're not really being supported by conventional medicine at that point, and so they're just sort of waiting to get sick again, which is a horrible situation.
I can imagine it's such a stressful situation for those individuals.
Yeah, really bad. And so, of course, if you can do anything that prolongs their well-being and prevents a relapse, that's enormous. I mean, it's life-saving potentially, because, of course, it's secondaries that kill people. And, you know, a relapse is usually a case of secondaries. So it's very important, yeah. So functional medicine, it's you were what you might call an early adopter in UK terms, I think. There weren't so many people in the UK who were trained in it, but it's rapidly becoming a respected choice for many GPs as well as nutritional therapists. Do you want to say a little bit about what it is and exactly what it adds to the storehouse of knowledge you already got from your nutritional training?
Yeah, absolutely. So functional medicine is referred to as a systems-based approach to medicine. So rather than you go to your conventional doctor and be referred to a cardiologist to look at your heart, or a gastroenterologist to look at your gut, or a rheumatologist to look at your joints, it's looking at all of the systems within the body and how they interact with each other. Because again, allopathic medicine treats a symptom or a system, but it doesn't look at the whole individual. And this is why many clients roll on up into my clinic and they've got maybe 4, 5, 6 consultants, whereby they deal with, the consultant deals with parts of the client, but never looks at the whole of the individual. Mm-hmm. So a systems-based approach to medicine is looking at the whole of the individual and really laying into that the client's story. And this isn't just the story of their diagnosis, but their story of their 40 years on the planet, for example, mm-hmm. and all of the potential antecedents, so things that might have happened prior to diagnosis, and this could go right back to thinking about their family history, their genetics, for example, triggering events. So, for example, I was diagnosed with breast cancer after I had a traumatic attack, for example, or after I had a car accident, or after something happened. Yeah. And then the perpetuating factors that are happening all of the time. For example, I'm eating food sprayed with pesticides, or I'm constantly stressed, or I'm taking a pharmaceutical medication that dysregulates my body. So when we think about that, like what happened before, what happened at the time, and what happens ongoing, mm-hmm. again, it really helps us to understand how we can make change. So I studied under the Institute for Functional Medicine, which is a prestigious functional medicine institute, and I graduated. I was the first UK practitioner back in 2013.
Right.
And you're right. It's now a growing, emerging field of practitioners with this passion to dig down deep and understand. And you're also right that there's many medical doctors now entering the field. In fact, I was at a conference, facilitating a conference back in November, mm-hmm. of 500 delegates, of which about half were medical doctors.
Awesome, eh? Fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think let's give it 5 years, 10 years, and with, you know, with the NHS being at kind of breaking point, mm-hmm. and functional medicine will be the go-to it for everybody.
Right. Well, let's hope so. Sounds absolutely brilliant. So there you are, you're trained up like mad, so you've done all your nutritional training and you've done the functional medicine training. I'm going to quote from your website where you said, despite meeting some inspiring people, this is from your past, this is, I didn't feel there was one person who could answer all my questions or point me in the right direction or support our family in making the big life-affecting decisions about her health, your daughter's health. I felt as though this was the support that would have eased our journey. So do you feel that your current training now enables you to become that one person for others in need?
I really do. And I work with clients at all levels to support their physical symptoms, to understand the cause, and to support them on an emotional level. I am that person that says, how does that make you feel? Because I'm sure you know from your work that many doctors don't discuss the emotional side of it. I mean, I've got clients that are told that they've got terminal cancer and then kicked out in the corridor and that's the end of it.
Been there.
So, yeah, firsthand, you've clearly experienced it. Yeah. Now, how emotionally affecting is that for the individual and for their family? So I would say there's two words that massively describe what I do, and they are to educate my client, to really allow them to understand the why behind what it is that I'm hoping that they will do, mm-hmm. which again, your doctors often don't do that. It's like, take this pill, take this statin. Why? Well, just because I'm telling you it's a good thing
right.
to do.
Right.
No, I educate clients and explain. And the second one is to empower, to really empower my clients on a journey. Now, I can't walk that journey for them, but I can walk it with them. So although they've got to make the changes, I can be on that journey with them to give them that physical, emotional support and the education as to why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how powerful is that?
Fantastic. All right. Well, that's great. And obviously, you'd like to see a lot more people qualified as you are out there in the country fulfilling the need. And so would I, by the way. So functional medicine is described as person-centered as opposed to disease-centered. Now, person-centered medicine has been talked about as an aim for our NHS for about four decades, although success so far has been limited at best. And in cancer care, I'd say it's almost entirely still the old doctor as God model. So what are the factors in functional medicine that enable it to succeed in being person-centered, do you think?
Okay, so well, the first and foremost is you get more time to spend with your client. So they're not just one of 50 people that's going to go through my morning clinic. And I understand the limitation of a doctor. So I actually have time to really get to know my client and get to know their story.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, and as a nutritional therapist, we're not allowed to use the word treat, but I don't treat a diagnosis. Whereas a doctor, particularly, you're right, in the field of cancer. Now, over the years, and this is not through anything other than having a good memory, I've managed to memorize the NICE guidelines for every type of cancer or every common type of cancer.
Really? Right.
So when somebody walks in my door and say, for example, they've just been diagnosed with breast cancer, mm-hmm. and I can say, okay, you're going to have the FECT regime followed by 15 sessions of radiotherapy, followed by surgery, followed by tamoxifen, they sit there and they're like, oh my goodness. And it's like, no, that's not clever. That's just reciting a guideline.
Right.
And simply, that's what doctors do, don't they?
Mm.
So if you look at, you know, sheep in a sheep pen, they're all treated in the same way.
Right.
But yet some women, I'm just going women because I just mentioned breast cancer. Yeah. Some women respond to that regime and are cured and some don't. Well, why is that the case? Is it look? Well, no, it's not look. It goes beyond the name of the diagnosis. It goes beyond that to think about the individual's genetic uniqueness. It goes to think about the environment within the individual's body. So if we, or if a doctor treats everybody as the same, but yet we're genetically unique, no wonder some respond and some don't respond. Now, functional medicine allows us to understand that genetic uniqueness because I can test it. It allows me to understand the systems-based medicine because, again, I can test it. So it's a science-based model,
mm-hmm.
but based on the individual and not the diagnosis. Now, I could line up 30 women with ER-positive breast cancer and none of them would look the same. So because none of them look the same, it means none of them, unless they've got an identical twin, none of them are the same. So why do we treat them as the same?
Right.
And that's that difference between treating a diagnosis and personalised medicine.
Right, right. So conventional medicine actually has a long way to go before they'll succeed in any way in becoming person-centered from that point of view. You can't really practice cookbook medicine and be person-centered. The two don't go together, is what you're saying.
They just don't.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier on, as if you hadn't already done sufficient training, you went on and did a specialised course in cancer support. Now, this was with the Integrative Cancer Therapy Fellowship, I believe.
That's correct.
Do you want to just say a little about them and what you learned there, and what made you want to work with cancer particularly?
Yeah, so I'll answer the latter and then I'll go on to the first. Okay. So I always say I didn't go looking for cancer, it found me, probably because of my daughter's journey and then wanting to share that. Well, do you know what? If you've got to be on a drug, let's support the side effects of the drug. And that was my biggest concern for her.
Sure.
So then I wanted to, you know, stand on the top of a very large building and shout it out loud that you don't have to suffer those consequences. You don't have to be sick. Your hair doesn't, hers went very thin. She had mouth ulcers. She got very sick. And yet, as soon as I brought in the power of naturopathy, those side effects started to reduce significantly.
Right.
So that was where I wanted to work with other people on significant drug regimes like chemotherapy. So I always say, it came to me, I didn't look for it. So although I'd done my nutrition training and then my functional medicine, it was still understanding how to support those many clients come knocking at my door with a diagnosis of cancer or having had a cancer or being at high risk of cancer because, for example, they're carrying a genetic variant like the BRCA1 gene. So I managed to find the American Board of Anti-Aging Health Practitioners and their fellowship in integrative cancer. And I got accepted on their program. And just like with my my functional medicine, both of them were American based. So I was traveling back and forth to the States like a yo-yo for 2 years.
Wow, yeah.
To do them both simultaneously.
Right.
But what that gave me was the skill of A, finding like-minded individuals. So I worked with, I trained with oncologists, oncology nurses, pharmacists that were prescribing cancer drugs, and then other people similar to myself that wanted to support individuals. Now, they were all American, and the system over in America is slightly different to here in that a lot of people have private healthcare. I know not everybody, but a lot of people have private healthcare, which means that they could, you know, afford under their healthcare to see an oncologist and a functional medicine practitioner simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So oncologists over there, I'd probably say maybe, and again, not all of them, but maybe 10 years further ahead than us in their thought processes. So it was an amazing skill to work with these individuals to understand how the drugs worked, the mode of action of not just chemotherapy, but much more common or newer drugs like targeted therapy for, say, for example, lung cancer. And then really understand how those drugs altered biological function within the body. So how or why do people then suffer with chronic fatigue type symptoms? Well, it's because their mitochondria have been damaged by the drugs. So understanding how it works allowed me to understand the impact of the drugs on the systems. So it was an amazing experience to kind of put my heads together with other people, but really get the science, the nitty gritty behind what it was that I kind of already knew. I did know, but I didn't quite have the full scientific understanding.
Right.
So now I've put together my skills of the fellowship and the functional medicine, and to me it's a match made in heaven, to work with my clients with that diagnosis to support them alongside it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's brilliant. And it's kind of notable, as you say, you had to go to America to get these trainings. I think the functional medicine training is now available over here, but I don't see any sign of anybody being trained in integrative cancer care anytime soon, but hopefully it'll happen. But yeah, I completely agree with you. 10 years is about how far ahead they are over there. And it's a bit galling in a way to feel that our health system, which I think everybody here would say they preferred, you know, everybody loves the NHS because of its the equality of being able to have free care. But in a way, that's held it back in this particular way, isn't it? which is tragic.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. It's kind of it's great if you got hit by a bus tomorrow and you know that you've got all of those services available to you to fix your leg or, you know, to get you through that acute injury. Mm. And in acute medicine, our National Health Service is phenomenal. Mm. However, it's when we fall into chronic conditions that the limitations of our National Health Service are really felt. And cancer is a chronic disease. Rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, neurodegenerative diseases, they're all chronic. And yet, sadly, our NHS is not equipped to be able to hold the amount of people suffering with chronic disease today. And I don't know what your belief is on this, but I can only see this situation worsening over the next 5-10 years, sure, with those diseases being on the increase.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, let's hope some of the good news from America makes it over here. We're trying to bring it over as quick as we can, but and I'm sure you are. Okay, so in a piece I wrote recently, I crystallized what I felt that integrative medicine could add that's currently completely absent from conventional care. And what I wrote was, as more and more cancers are ascribed to lifestyle, it makes little sense to try to address cancer without addressing lifestyle. So integrative medicine can bring two common sense principles to the table. Number one, reduce or eliminate the known drivers of cancer. Number two, support the body in being as healthy and resilient as possible. So the expertise and science behind the applications of those principles is now impressive. And it also that it can improve outcomes. So can you tell us more about the ways in which functional medicine principles can help with understanding and helping with an individual's particular diagnosis of cancer?
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, what you've wrote there is absolutely amazing, and it really goes along my belief system.
Right.
So from a functional medicine perspective, when it comes to that diagnosis, I mean, I always split my clients up depending on which part of their journey they're on. And we always see it as sort of baby steps. So if they're on treatment, allopathic treatment, it's working with them alongside that treatment to minimise the side effects. Or it might be something extra to support from nausea or from mouth ulcers. So it really is, it's kind of just walking alongside their allopathic treatment to see what else it is that I can support them with. Then post-treatment, I say, is where our hardest work begins.
Right.
So that's where we might then start to test the individual. So that might be to do a stool analysis and look at the microbiome. It might be to test their 2:4:16 ratio of their estrogen to see how much of the aggressive estrogens they've got. It might be to do an adrenal stress test and look at the influence of stress, which of course they're going to be stressed. You can't have a diagnosis of cancer and not feel stress, mm-hmm, but the influence of that stress on their immunity. So then once we've got the scientific backup to what my thoughts might be, so I might have thought that you've got an imbalance in your microbiome. Now I've done a stool analysis and I've actually can name the bad bacteria or the fungal infection that's in there, and I can see which herbal preparations or nutraceuticals are going to be most effective, then I can write a therapeutic plan to meet that need. Now, I always split my therapeutic plans into dietary recommendations, mm-hmm, lifestyle modifications, and then supplements where needed. Because the issue is we cannot get all of our nutrients from the Western diet if we're already out of balance, which if you've got cancer, you're out of balance.
Right.
So, and I see all three of those arms as important as each other. So, yes, it's really important to be eating the diet that's right for you. So that might be a diet that's not full of sugar or full of processed foods, or it's a diet that's rich in phytonutrients or antioxidant properties or anti-inflammatory nutrients. But I also put a massive influence on this lifestyle modifications. And that might be to spend time outside with nature, to induce fun and happiness and laughter back into your world, to really focus on self-care and self-love. to spend time with friends, friends that give us a positive outlook on life. Maybe it's to instill creativity and use different parts of your brain that you haven't been able to engage in because pre-diagnosis you were just living the rat race.
Right.
So that lifestyle is just as important of trying to rebalance our bodies as any other area that I'm working on.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so that's a lot to bring to the table anyway. It's a lot more than most people are getting within their normal treatment, that's for sure. And I completely agree that if you're trying to provide some rebalance through nutrition or whatever it is, if you don't address the other things, then, of course, somewhere down the line, either it's not going to work as well, or somewhere down the line, you'll go off balance again. So it's got to be right across the waterfront, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, you've talked about quite a few areas of ways you can support people with cancer. You've already mentioned supporting people's immune function, minimizing side effects, the thing that brought you to it in the first place, and very importantly, sustaining remissions. There's one other area which you have mentioned on your website, which you can also help with, which is compassionate end-of-life care. Now, curiously, in the UK, this is the one area where actually fairly broad integrated medicine is beginning to get in the door. It seems like that once people have been sort of officially written off, then it seems to be okay to open up the rule book a bit and try some other stuff, which is a bit tragic, but it's good it's happening somewhere. Would you like to just talk a bit about your functional medicine practices, your nutritional training, how they can help people who are faced with that kind of situation?
Yeah, definitely. And I always believe, I mean, I'll get lots of emails from, often at this point, family members. My mum's got, my dad's got, my daughter's got, can you help?
Yes.
And I'm pretty much of the belief that where there's life, there's hope.
Agreed.
And if there's life in there, then it's worth giving it everything we can to maximise quality and quantity of that life.
Right.
Now, I guess why I said on my website I am happy to work in that area is because I'm not afraid of supporting people at that time of their life, which I think many people are fearful of, aren't they?
I think so.
And I'd like to work with people and again, I don't make claims that I'm going to cure them or that they're going to live, but that I make an honest dialect with them that actually what we're doing can make a difference mm-hmm. to sustain quality of life and to reduce side effects such as pain, such as nausea, vomiting, and definitely to work with the emotional side of it, the anxiety, the depression, the stress. So I really do believe that putting care in at that end of life, as doctors class it, can make a difference. And I've got many an example that I can share with you where I've had clients, I mean, one lady that was given 6 months to live 9 months before she came to me, mm-hmm. and then I worked with her for 7 years before she died.
Right.
Now, doctors could not believe that she was still alive. Mm. Now, up until the last couple of weeks of her life, that whole of that 7 years was really good quality. She got to watch 3 more grandchildren come into the world. She got to she was able to watch one of her daughters get married, another one of her daughters graduate. Now, I don't know how you feel about that and how your listeners feel about that, but to me, that was worth every ounce of energy that myself, my client, and her family put in to that period that I got called end-of-life treatment.
Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. I mean, we're of the same mind. We basically don't do terminal at yes to life. People are either alive or if they're not dead, they're actually dying. You know, if somebody gets to the point where they're dying, fair enough. But up until that point, yeah, as you say, where there's life, there's hope. And I've been surprised time and time again. There's people who in my heart of hearts I thought, oh, blimey, they've really had it, and they proved me wrong. So it's very surprising what can happen.
Yeah, I agree.
So I have to say that up until looking at your website, I'd never heard of the Alfie Goff Trust, but I'm pleased I have now, as its ethos seems to be very much aligned with our own, Yes Alive, although it specialises in helping children. Can you briefly tell us about the Trust and your involvement?
Yeah, so the Trust was set up in memory of Alfie. Now, Alfie is a case of a very young boy who developed not one but two different types of cancer in his very young life. Mm-hmm. Alfie initially was diagnosed with a sarcoma and went through 6 months of what was deemed to be quite mild mop-up chemotherapy. Now, during that 6 months, and I wasn't involved in his care at all during that time, he was hospitalised on every cycle with spike temperature, neutropenia, needed antibiotics, vomited, you name it, he got every side effect.
Yes.
And on the 6th month of his treatment, where they did what was going to be his end of treatment scan, they found a big mass in his abdomen. Mm. And that was in fact a neuroblastoma, so a completely different type of cancer. Yeah. Now, it was very soon after that diagnosis, parents engaged with me. And they were phenomenal. I kind of gave them maybe 10 recommendations and said, get back hold of me when you've managed to do these 10. Next day, she's back on the phone. I've done them all. What next? What next? And everything I said, they did it to the letter. I mean, this was their baby boy. Yeah. Now, the treatment for neuroblastoma is grueling. It's a very aggressive type of cancer with, you know, less than 40% of children living from it. And when neuroblastoma relapses, there is no current treatment protocol in the UK. If you're lucky enough and financially stable enough to get your child to America, there's hope. But in this country, there's nothing. But during his treatment, which was grueling, he never once spiked a temperature, was never once admitted to hospital, never once got neutropenic sepsis or all of the horrible side effects, never got mucositis because we worked on his mucosal membranes. Mm. So bar having no hair, he actually looked a really well boy. Mm. Now, sadly, I'd love to give you a happy ending to that story, and I can't. Alfie did die, but Alfie died at home with not so much as paracetamol for pain relief. Now, usually these children are given high level of sort of anti-seizure drugs and morphine drugs so that they're, you know, they pass away very gently, not in pain. Alfie needed none of that.
Right.
So whilst I can't imagine what it feels like for parents to lose a child, it was the best possible ending. And parents went on to want to share the legacy of making a difference through complementary medicine with other parents. So there's still an ongoing charity now that raises money to support individuals with all types of cancer and with a special leg for neuroblastoma, the cancer Alfie had.
Right.
They've supported functional medicine. They're now supporting Great Ormond Street to be able to deliver massage therapy and other types of, you know, integrative support to children undergoing chemotherapy regimes.
Right, fantastic. Well, really good. I mean, you know, for people who haven't been there, I can't overstate just how major that achievement was with actually knocking all those side effects on the head. Because, I mean, you know, the side effects of those kind of strong chemotherapies are just like, they're legendary. They're amongst the worst things that people have to deal with. And, yeah, you're treating a child like that, they will come round every time, all the same things, and the infections will arrive, and they'll be bedbound with intravenous antibiotics and all this stuff every single time. So to actually avoid all of that and to keep a child well and healthy throughout that is an astonishing achievement.
Yeah, for the little boy and for his parents, or for the individual and their families, because I think for whether it's a child or whether it's an adult, it's the family members that feel disempowered mm-hmm. to be able to help.
Right.
Because it's the doctors that do the treatment and they have to sit at the bedside. Now, actually, when you're using functional medicine, nutrition, you give people around you jobs.
Right.
Now, whether that's the job of baking the sugar-free cakes or the bread that's made with natural ingredients or making batches of soup and freezing it or doing the freshly squeezed juice, it allows people that didn't think they could do anything to do something.
Yeah.
Now, having worked with this day in and day out, that is such a powerful gift to give to the loved ones as well as the individual that you're working with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely agree. All right, one last thing I'd like to highlight is the fact that you've actually written a cookbook for the Trust called Recipes for Life, Fighting Back with Food. What were your particular aims for this book?
Well, it was more to get advice or examples for parents to be able to feed their children. It's really difficult. And, you know, if you said to me, what's the perfect diet? Well, the truth is, A, there's not one perfect diet that fits all, because there's lots of different potentials depending on the type of cancer, depending on the individual. But children are a whole category of their own right. Yes. And if you've got children yourself, you know you cannot make a child eat what they don't want to eat.
Right.
Whereas adults might force themselves to drink the green juice, even if they don't like it. So I just really wanted to, and I did it in collaboration with some other individuals, to really just try and put some recipes out there which went along the theory of no cow's milk dairy, no refined sugars, cooked from scratch, whole ingredients, but full of nourishment, but actually tasted like real food.
Okay. And so it's very particularly for aimed at children and for parents.
Not at all.
No?
You know, it isn't. And I've had lots of adult juice recipes in it. I mean, that was my motivator when I wrote it. But it's full of curries and vegetable-based hot pots and ways, you know, family meals to be able just to eat whole foods.
Okay, that's great. Well, look, I'll make sure that details of how to get the book are put up with the show. I'm going to leave it there. Thanks very much indeed for taking the time to talk to us today, Joe. There's one aspect of lifestyle that people with cancer are interested in. It's nutrition. But it's so enormously complex. It's so confusing. It's brilliant to have some people like you who've got some clear, science-based, really good information to help guide people through the minefield.
Yeah, I agree.
So, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Look on the Yes to Life website for links to material related to today's show. That's yestolife.org.uk, and click the show logo that's on the homepage. Please note that in common with many other UK practitioners, Joe Gamble has generously offered a discount to Yes to Life beneficiaries. Coming up very soon in the Yes to Life calendar of events is a nutrition and cooking for health workshop that's on the 24th of January in central London. Look at the events page on the Yes to Life website, again that's yestolife.org.uk, or on the Yes to Life Facebook page for more details and for booking. Thanks very much for joining me today. I look forward to introducing another inspiring guest to you in next week's Yes to Life show. Goodbye.